Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to share credit when presenting, part two. The questions this cast answers are, how do I properly credit others' work? Why should I credit other people? And what's the worst way to accept credit for your own work?
Hey folks, Mark again. Just real quickly, what we're doing in March. We have a virtual ECC on the 10th of March. We have a public in-person conference in Chicago the 15th, 16th, and 17th of March, EMC, ECC, and Effective Hiring Manager, which we only do 4 or 5 times a year. We have a virtual EMC starting on the 21st of March. We have a public event in Los Angeles the 22nd and 23rd. We have a public event the 29th of this month, 29th and 30th in Washington, D.C., and we have a virtual Effective Hiring Manager conference over the 29th and 30th as well. Plenty of opportunities to get trained. If you're an individual contributor, talk to your boss and get some budget. If you're a manager, come to one of those and become a better manager.
Okay, Andre, so we started this guidance with when not to give credit, when to give credit for exceptional effort. And now we're going to do when it's your idea, but somebody else or some other people gave input. And just to remind everybody, the scenario is you're presenting the results of new product development project. The presentation is to your boss, his boss, and their peers. And you're talking about the idea, the product, the issues that you had in development, the current status, and your hopes for the future. And all the people that worked with you on this project are in the room. So let's talk about what you say when it's your idea, but others gave input.
Yeah. So in a situation where the contribution of other people isn't obvious, or it's maybe clouded or discreet or not, you know, not clear, giving credit gets more difficult. Our rule of thumb is the amount of credit that we give depends on the magnitude of the contribution. So it's obvious to the question to ask in this circumstance is how much of the final product is based on my idea, right? The higher proportion of the final product that is predicated on your work, the less credit you need to give to other people. So let's break this down a little bit. So if it's mostly your work, let's use the same scenario. Let's say that you had an idea, or you had the idea for the product, thought about how it could be realized, created a timeline, presented that to your boss. When your boss approved it, you did the majority of the work developing the product, and the finished result is close to that which you first recommended. The help you had was peripheral. It was, you know, ancillary, such as you know, other people giving you the access to the facilities that you needed, or a piece of software, you know, that need provisioned for you to have user access, or someone checking your work, right? You do it, but then they check it. In kind of casual language, normal nomenclature, we would say that this new product is your baby, right? This is your baby. You're feeding it, you're clothing it, you're changing it, right? You're doing all of that stuff.
You can tell Andrew has children, right? He knows that list of things.
Yes.
So in this case, it would be fine to say, I had an idea for a web-based calculator and I developed a proposal for Julian to approve. He was gracious enough to give me some feedback and some leeway to carry on with my idea. Remember, in this instance, Julian's the boss. We give bosses credit. I created a web-based calculator that allows our clients to more accurately estimate the amount they should be ordering, which is reducing returns. I tested it internally, and I established that the results the calculator gave were accurate. So essentially, we're saying, I did all of this. And even though somebody else might have helped you check those results, it's such a minor part of the majority of that project that it's not worth giving credit. You know, it's probably, you know, if it's like half an hour of somebody's work over a 3-month project, they didn't help you that much.
Yeah. And the important thing here is if it's substantially your work, right, you're allowed to take credit for your work. The presentation doesn't need to be about, you know, everyone else when majority of the work was yours. That's okay. It's okay. You should feel fine about doing that. The other situation that, you know, we need to talk about is if it's a true collaboration. And this happens a lot in modern organizations, right? There's a big push for more voices and more people involved in the process because in a lot of cases, right, that may sometimes slow things down, but it usually results in a better product.
Right.
So common circumstances have, you know, one person has an idea, another team member suggested an improvement on the idea, which would make that product, you know, substantially better. Then a third team member helped with the project plan and someone else managed the project, right? Was a project manager and they ran it to completion. Three or four people were the ones that actually created the components. And going back to that first person who maybe also did the product testing. So in this case, when presenting the project results, ensure you want to give the credit to either the specific person or the team that made that substantial contribution to each of those parts, right? As you're talking through the process. So for example, I had an idea for an ordering calculator, and Jenny suggested making it an app that customers could have on their phones, right? That's a great way to do it. David developed a project plan with three milestones, A, B, and C. Once we had a solid plan in place, then Jason took on the project management duties and ensured that we delivered on time and on budget. To create the calculator, right, we needed three parts. The algorithm, this is what Denise did. Denise created this algorithm. Then we needed an interface, and that Jonas developed the app and kind of figured out how that was going to look from a UX experience. And then Joel programmed it, right? Did all the programming for it. Once we had a working prototype, Jenny commenced the testing as she's the one who has the most experience in this area. Now, these are all examples of things that you would say, but I want to make sure we're clear here because in part one, we covered this, but you know, it's been a week and you've forgotten. These are not all said at the same time.
This is not your final credit slide.
Yes. This is throughout the presentation as you're talking through the process and explaining in more detail, you're giving these little blurbs of credit along the way where they fit logically, where it makes sense. So again, spread out, not all on a thank you slide.
I just keep giggling at the idea of having a thank you slide and no animals were harmed. Okay, so the most difficult scenario is actually the one you'd think would be the easiest, which is it's all their work. And this inherent difficulty is why directs feel like their bosses don't give them enough credit in public. Not in most cases, because the bosses don't want to give you the credit. It's because it's actually more difficult than you think.
Yeah. Assuming you're an individual contributor, your manager's job is to enable the plans of the executives of your organization. So she develops the tactics and the procedures which direct the individual contributor's actions in order to achieve the plan. This makes giving credit harder because her reasoning is to have you do something, right?
Like, I had you do something. That's part of my job. And we don't right. give credit for what's my job, right?
Yes, exactly.
So let's change the example slightly just so that it's easier to see this. It's your boss who's responsible for developing three new products per quarter, and they're presenting this new product. And they might say something like, I have three ideas for you here, or I'm working on three products for this quarter, or I'm leading the development of the web-based calculator. And it's not disingenuous, even though I have three ideas here, that doesn't say, it does say I have three ideas, and it doesn't give the person credit who came up with those ideas, which might not have been his, but he's presenting three ideas to an audience. So actually, I have three ideas on this slide that I'm presenting to you is actually accurate. Or I'm working on three products this quarter. It is true in the sense that his job is to make it come true fruition, to make those products exist by the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
And doing that, he has to use all the resources. And some of those resources are people and their brains, because that's how companies run.
we use the really great analogy in part one of this cast about a chef and preparing a world-class meal. I would say, to use that analogy again, this is kind of like a waiter or a waitress coming to your table and saying, I have three specials for you.
Exactly.
They're not making those aren't their dishes.
They didn't choose them. They didn't make them. They didn't go buy the carrots. And yet they would say, I have.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's not semantics or splitting hairs, which you could say it was, but it's these phrases that directs take to unfairly mean that their boss is taking credit for work. But it's hard for them because there aren't that many good alternatives. Like, if I said, I have three ideas here from my team, like an idea is a single person's idea usually. And so that's not fair because we're saying my team, everybody is getting equal credit and actually it was one person's idea. So that doesn't help. We could say each person's name. So you could say there are three ideas. Joseph had two of them and one of them is Alexander's. Is a distraction from, like, the sentence is, I have three ideas, here they are, 1, 2, 3. And, to take you off on a tangent is distracting to the audience.
Yeah, it makes it more about the person and not about the idea, which that's the point.
Exactly.
The point is the idea.
Exactly. And of course, if the people you're presenting to, or he or she is presenting to, don't like the idea, it's much better that the boss gets the flack than his directs. It's not fair for a boss to like an idea, present it, and then say, oh, it was Alexander's idea. So if you don't like it, go talk to him. That's not what bosses are supposed to do. They're supposed to provide air cover. And if he said, I like your idea and I'm going to present it, then he's taking on the risk of getting flack for it if other people think it's a bad idea.
That's a great point, which is, how often do you find yourself saying, I want credit, but do you also want the equal amount of blame if it's not a good idea or if it's not well received?
Yeah.
No, most people, a lot of people though, I think would say, yeah, I want the credit, but I don't want any of the blame.
No, exactly. I don't want blame for my stupid ideas. The fact that I have 99 stupid ideas and only one good
one. No, I just want to hear about the good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're wrestling with this or you're struggling with this concept of, feeling or understanding that your boss is in a little bit of a precarious situation here and you want the credit and, potentially if they don't say your name, you think that they're trying not to share your credit or your work. We have a great podcast called Assume Positive Intent and you should check that out.
Yeah, that's right. So if you do find yourself in the position of presenting work that's entirely someone else's, it is appropriate to give them credit if there's specific praise for it. So if, for example, if your boss presents three great ideas and somebody calls out from the audience, oh my gosh, that's genius. You say, yeah, it was Alexander's idea. Then it's a really good time to give that person specific credit, in part because you know they're getting credit and praise, not flack. And it's a really good relationship builder in the sense that you're not taking credit for Alexander's idea, but you are providing air cover if somebody doesn't like that idea. Or if a project has taken a big leap forward and your boss is getting, or you're getting praised for the progress, then it's appropriate to say, thank you. And, it's all Margaret's hard work that's allowed us to catch up. Again, pass the praise on and stop the flack.
Yeah. I mean, that's an important point, right? It's not appropriate for you to blame someone else when the reaction is negative. If the reaction to those ideas or to, an idea was, those are the worst ideas anyone at this company has ever had. Well, then it's not appropriate to say, oh yeah, I know they were Alexander's and Joseph's. That's
apart from anything, you decided to present them.
Right, exactly. So if you don't know what the action's what the reaction's going to be, it's better to just wait for the feedback or a reaction before you give credit specifically to a certain team member.
Hey, folks, just another recommendation that you become a licensee, even if you're an individual contributor right now and you're not thinking about becoming an executive tomorrow, you might be surprised how useful executive tools would be to you, learning how executives think, being able to understand some of the rationale and motivations behind what they do, to say nothing of the fact that now licenses include the interviewing series, which is probably our most profitable or popular standalone digital product. We've probably sold, 20,000 of them over the years, it seems like, and with 50 or so podcasts about how to be interviewed with details, down in the weeds details, we find that people get more offers and are more happy with their experience when they prep using the interview series. So please become a licensee. Come to the website and sign up.
So now we're going to do what not to say, which is the fun part. So there is a fine line between properly crediting others, false modesty, it was my idea, but I'm not going to say so, and claiming others' work as your own. And in these examples, we kept the acknowledgement brief because we're talking about, a 10, 15-minute presentation. You can't spend 30 seconds of 15 minutes. Somebody could do the math and I can't. But 15 minutes is not that long to present, and you don't want to spend 30 seconds or a minute of it crediting other people and then miss out something vital to the understanding of that presentation. And the other thing, if you keep it brief, then it stops giving excessive credit to others, which that can make it sound like it's false modesty, that humble brag, which is, I had the original great idea, but Joe, Robert, and Sue and Mary all contributed.
Right.
Which makes it sound like I'm great and they, they're just hangers on.
Right. They really got my great idea over the finish line.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And don't use the Oscar format unless you're receiving an Oscar.
In which case, go for it.
Yeah, then great. Good on you. That's fantastic. But the words I'd like to thank and words like I could not have done this without have really become a cliche beginning to an acceptance speech for an Oscar or a significant award. So using these in a work presentation and, corporate life, it just smacks of narcissism or maybe even just a general lack of understanding of kind of where you are, the circumstances. Internal business presentations are not major lifetime achievement awards.
Exactly. Anything that's within your company is not equivalent to an Oscar, and even outside your company often. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, in the examples, we were careful not to claim that the work was done alone or that it was completely done by one person. And that's what causes resentment, that people feel like the work has been claimed by someone else. So use we and not I when you had help.
Yeah, absolutely. You might have hoped that you could give the show notes for this podcast to your boss and have them properly credit you with the work that they've been claiming. Don't do this either. Again, Wendy mentioned at the beginning of part one of this podcast, the only way that you can change your boss is to get promoted twice. If the work is good, people will find out it's yours. In the meantime, though, be gracious, do good work, and look for another job.
If you've got the kind of boss that claims your work is his own in a way that is distressing to you, then they're not going to change. You need to find another job. And it occurs to me, I didn't write this in the show notes, but it occurs to me now as we talk about this, even if somebody didn't give you credit for the work that you did, the idea that you had, the project that you brought in on time, you can still put that on your resume. You get to choose what goes on your resume.
Absolutely.
And if when you're honest with yourself, you feel like that was your accomplishment, then you can still put it on your resume. It's rare for someone to check a resume to the extent that they say, exactly this accomplishment, did this person do this? And even if they did check to that extent, companies usually won't tell you. They'll only confirm that the person worked there and the dates. And so, that isn't an encouragement to lie on your resume, but it is an encouragement to think, just because you didn't get credit for it where you were, that doesn't mean you can't get credit for it elsewhere.
Yeah, the fact that you didn't get credit for it does not make it untrue, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have an accomplishment and no one notices it or nobody says anything about it. It's still an accomplishment.
Yes.
And so, two things can be true. You cannot get credit and still have something that you could put on your resume.
So giving credit is something that, done well, builds relationships. And it's an opportunity to thank people that have contributed to the creation of something new or the resolution of a problem. And we often think of the problem around credit sharing as I don't get enough. And we don't often think about, do I share enough credit? Do I mention other people enough? And we're probably not doing that. So if this was a podcast that struck you in the heart that, oh, this is some pain I feel because nobody ever gives me credit, think about whether or not you share enough credit, because I'll bet that you probably don't, because none of us do.
Absolutely. And it's a good skill to develop. It's something that you can learn and get better at and do and practice. And then at some point, no one will ever feel that way about you, whether you're their boss or whether you're their peer.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.